Hey everybody. Welcome to the wrestling episode, Eddie. It's so nice to be able to talk about wrestling
again. I know.
Away from fucking Ralph Garman.
I can't stand the hate.
So disparaging. So much hate. But like active, over the top, like fucking disparaging.
Yeah. Not even, it's like, I don't know if it's genuine hate anymore. It's almost character hate.
Okay, comedy hate.
It's almost comedy hate at this point.
So every now and again, when I'm here in town, we record. These little podcasts all about wrestling for our love of wrestling.
We do.
And let's just get a quick update. Have you been watching any of the product?
I haven't watched a ton. I meant to watch. They just had, Class of Champions was last week, and I haven't watched it yet. I watched some of the AEW stuff from the week prior because my co-host on my other show that I do, Jen Sturger, she participated in that as one of the backstage interviewers and whatnot, so I'm kind of up to date on that one a little bit. I just got to interview JR last week, which was amazing.
I have to say, you did so well. But the three of you, it was such a great.
Yeah.
And it's not normal, because I listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts and stuff, and it's all the same stories and the same thing, because, you know, there's only so much of it that's happened.
And you don't want to ask the same stupid garbage. But, no.
And he's great.
I mean, he came in hungover as shit.
Right. Where had you been the night before?
He's actually really good friends with Jen Sturger. He's the one who kind of brought her into AEW and whatnot. And her husband, Cody, who's the other host on the show, they all went to dinner that night. And they thought they just left him. But I guess he said he kept hanging out and had some Moscow mules later in the night. And I guess he eventually made it back to his room. And then he came in that morning just like sunglasses on, sweaty.
He pulled an Ashton the night before.
He did pull an Ashton. And he got better. As the show went on, he got more into it. But he was just fascinating. And I met him one other time before at a SmackDown I went to with Jen. And we hung out afterwards and had dinner with him. So I'd met him before. So we had a little bit of a familiarity. But
how does she know him?
I don't know.
She was never involved in WWE, was she?
She tried out for the Divas. She went to the Divas. She actually went down when they were doing that nationwide search for Divas probably about 4 or 5 years ago. The Diva Search, I guess it was called. And she went down to Florida and trained there at the center. And she ended up hurting her neck, taking a bump. So she couldn't keep going because she's always had a bad neck and all that. So I think that's where she got introduced to JR. And they just formed a friendship. And
she's not an unattractive lady. So there might be something.
It doesn't hurt. She's not unattractive.
Yeah. The AEW. So did you watch the AEW show or some of the
I just watched some of the clips. I didn't watch the whole show because I didn't want to buy it.
How much are they charging for?
It's not outrageous, but it's like anything right now is too much to pay for wrestling.
Do you subscribe to the network?
I do, but I think I might just resubscribe because I do it in 6 month intervals. And I didn't get to cancel it before it re-upped. But I think I'm going to cancel come January.
Because you don't watch it?
I don't watch it enough. I'll go back and I'll watch some pay-per-views. But
some of the specials and things they do are quite good, aren't they? And I quite liked the Edge and Christian show.
Some stuff on the network. And it's fun to kind of go back and watch some of the old pay-per-views. Like on the interview we had with JR, I went back the night before and watched Capital Combat 90, which is the old WCW pay-per-view, which I actually attended because it happened near my hometown.
Was it the first wrestling show you went to?
That was the first pay-per-view I've ever been to. I've been to house shows, but that was the first pay-per-view I'd ever gone to, and that was when RoboCop was there.
Right.
And I got to talk to JR about it because he was obviously called the match, and I was I was in the stands there, and I had my Sting face paint on because Sting was the big face at the time.
And because you're a mark.
I was a huge mark. But it was a great card. I mean, the Midnight Express won the U.S. tag titles in a great match. I was because I was a huge Midnight Express fan as a kid. And the main event was Luger versus Flair for the world title in a cage. And Sting was put in a little cage next to the ring. And
stop him in because he was good friends with Lex.
He was a good friend with Lex. And they put Lex and Flair in a cage because the Four Horsemen kept interfering in all Luger's championship matches. So they figured if they just cage Sting couldn't interfere. If they cage those guys, Four Horsemen couldn't interfere.
Or just not let them in the building.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Just have security at the door. Right. But, this made more sense. And so there was always this rumor that RoboCop might show up for Capital Combat 90. And
Of the connection.
Good guys hang out with good guys.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the match is going on, and then the cage lifts up halfway during the main event. I remember this very vividly. And out comes like Arn and Ole, like all the horsemen come out and they start beating up Luger, and Sting's in the cage and he can't get out of the cage, and all of a sudden RoboCop's music, which no one, I guess whatever the theme song from RoboCop was, comes out, and it literally takes him 30 minutes to walk.
Yeah, because he's slow as fuck.
Because he's in a fucking big robot costume.
Right.
And he gets down there, and you think he's the one who's got a gun and super strength. He could just go into the steel cage and destroy the horseman and make it. But all he does is go over and just bend the bars on Sting's cage, and then Sting opens up the cage and walks out and then goes and helps, and then RoboCop walks back.
And if I recall, it was one of those ones where he tried to look like it took him a minute.
Yes.
It, like, instantly came open. Yeah. And then he had to close it again to make it yes. look like he was it opening was, it.
I think at one part of his thigh fell off as he was walking down the aisle.
So it clearly wasn't Peter Weller. It was a enhancement talent.
Yeah, it was some probably scrub wrestler that they just... But I was talking to JR about it. He was like, yeah, he was like, those days, it was just where WCW was trying to do anything to compete with WWF at the time, because WWF was all about gimmicks and over-the-top stuff and cross-promotion and stunt. And WCW was like, and that was Ted Turner, and they're all just like, let's try to get... This is the big movie coming out this summer. Let's cross-promote with wrestling.
And to be fair, they were going after slightly younger crowd, right, weren't they? WCW. So they were kind of after a bit more children.
Yeah.
And so what year was that then?
That was 1990.
All right, so it wasn't quite Attitude Era time.
No.
It was
about a decade before.
Truly dark days of the days of wrestling, I think, those kind of times.
It was literally that Hogan Warrior, like, over-the-top characters in WWF, and WCW was just coming out of its old NWA... Like, let's have good matches and tell good stories and have the heel always win. Like, you know, Flair would carry the belt forever, and he was always the hero chasing the title. And this one was, they were sort of switching over now. Let's have the more gimmicks and try to bring the kids in and do our rock and wrestling thing. And then, yeah.
So talking of which, the whole stunt casting thing, cross promotion, is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So last time we got together, we talked about wrestlers in movies.
Yes.
Because we're kind of running out of material, really, aren't we, to talk about?
Yeah. Because we don't talk currently about the product. We talk about our love for it in the past.
Yeah. There's many more podcasts out there that we'll talk about what's happening in AEW or TNA and whatever. So we're going old school and going back to the days of, particularly like the cross promotion and everything else, which is wrestlers in TV shows.
Oh,
and some of these might surprise you. So what ones come to mind? So for me, one of the first ones that come to mind is all that bullshit they did. I think it was Baywatch. That a lot of them were involved in. So Hogan, I think, was in an episode, and I think Flair, where they tried to do that crossover.
Well, that's when Baywatch was on TNT, I believe.
No idea.
Whatever network it was on, I think a lot of the times, I know WCW would cross-promote with the network they were on. And I know also WWE would do that with the USA Network. Whenever there was a USA show, they would try to get... The Miz has been in some USA shows. John Cena, Randy Orton has been in... They've shown up in different... shows on the network that their program is on.
And there's a few people. So Cody Rhodes was in, when he was in WWE, was in Green Lantern. Green Arrow.
Yeah.
So he was in that show.
That was on the WB or CW network, I guess. Right. So
I thought what we'd do is, I just chosen a few because I wouldn't have known or seen a lot of these shows because they didn't play over in the UK, with a few exceptions. So we're going to go through these and we'll play a couple of clips. The first one, there's a whole bunch which are in, which are cartoons, right? So a couple I've chosen here, and we'll do a little bit of honorable mentions of wrestlers in cartoons too at the end. So first one is Hulk Hogan in American Dad. Did you know that Hulk Hogan was in American Dad?
I didn't.
So let's play a little clip.
Greetings, Father.
Hulk Hogan!
He goes to my chiropractor. So I asked him if he'd come talk some sense into you.
Stan, my little Hulkamaniac filled me in on what's going on. And let me tell you something, brother. The Hulkster had to battle my entire life to get where I am, brother. With nothing but sweat, tears, and heartache, and good old red, white, and blue pumping through my veins, brother. All the training, all the matches, all the prayers, and all the brothers made me appreciate everything I've earned. That's why, no matter how many 1-2-3s I slap on my opponents, I just thank my lucky, mean genes I was blessed to be able to step into that squared circle and use these 24-inch pythons. Stan, brother, sometimes as a Hulkamaniac, you gotta look deep down inside yourself and ask, what you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
And I like that one because he's not taking himself too seriously. No. So he's really playing up the brother and the 24.
I think they drop like 15 different Hoganisms in 30 seconds.
And there's a little bit towards the end of that whole kind of scene where he presses a button. He says, my work here is done. And then he glows and then walks off into the distance.
Yeah, he glows and all his clothes go away.
Yeah, naked.
He
yeah.
walks away naked.
It's very much like a scene maybe at the Garmin household after I've had a few too many drinks.
My work here is done.
Yeah. So that's quite a good one. I like that one. So let's do a rating. So out of 10, what would you say?
Oh,
and the rating's kind of like the performance-wise, are they taking themselves too seriously? Or are they kind of like, you know...
I would give that one a 10.
I would. Yeah.
Because, one, there's the fight scene in it is amazing.
Yeah.
They're all doing, there's camel clutches, there's a Boston crab, I saw a couple elbows, there's a clothesline.
And I think that's what I like, when they go, they actually know a bit about wrestling,
yeah.
and rather than pretending.
You could tell they were fans of wrestling when they were making that cartoon. The people in charge of the animation and the writing, they were fans of wrestling.
It wasn't just a sort of pastiche of what you think wrestling would be
right.
about. Like if Ralph wrote it, for example, yes. he'd do it very differently.
Right.
So 10 out of 10 for Hulk Hogan on American Dad.
And oh, I think so.
Next one's an animated one. And I wanted to do a couple of animated ones in this just because of the pure, I guess, sort of campness and silliness, the fact that the wrestlers don't take themselves too seriously in it. And the next one, similar to the American Dad with Hulk Hogan, is Ric Flair on The Cleveland Show.
Let me search it on my pad.
Oh, here's a friendship camp sponsored by Nature Boy Ric Flair.
I'm the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Woo! Let me tell you, there are three things I know: divorce, wrestling, and enduring male friendship. Woo!
Now that is what a man looks like.
So if you want to be lifelong friends, join me on Nature Boy Ric Flair's Male Bonding Nature Trail. Woo!
That sounds perfect. Do you think he'd come to Stool Bend?
I'm already here. Woo!
So how does this work?
Woo!
A river trip?
Woo!
To the Stool Bend Springs?
Woo!
Sorry, Stool Bend Hot Springs sounds great.
That's one idea. Here's another way to go. I'm just spitballing here, but how about we stay here, drink a bunch of beers, and leave one by one without ever really saying goodbye to each other?
Yeah.
No, no. We're in. We're all in.
Woo!
So, Ric Flair in the Cleveland Show. What do you think about that one?
That's a 10 out of 10.
I think so, because he
leads with divorce.
Yeah. Yeah, saying that's one of the things he knows. He's not taking himself too seriously,
no.
which is really good. And I don't think you could get Ric Flair to act. Do you know what I mean?
He's never shown that, really.
He's too much Ric Flair.
He's Ric Flair.
He can't
that's what
do
he
any,
does.
Yeah. And he stylizes some profiles.
But I wonder if it's because it is animated, if that makes it lend itself to make it not take itself so seriously.
I think so. I think that's what it is. So 10 out of 10 so far. So we're doing well on the animation ones, aren't we? So let's go with the next one. Now, I'm not sure.
They're all Seth Green products.
Yeah.
Or is Seth MacFarlane.
That's yes,
Seth
right.
So
I'm not sure if the next entry will get a 10 out of 10. In fact, I can almost guarantee it won't as I bring this up. So the next one, Ed, is... I can't even fucking believe I'm saying this. Booker T and Scott Steiner, right? What's the least likely show you could put them in? Other than a kids show.
Some teeny thing. Like
Charmed.
Charmed. They were in Charmed?
They were in Charmed. Fucking hell. So the background to this is they were apparently in Charmed, which I always thought was a bit of a Buffy the Vampire Slayer ripoff, almost.
It kind of was.
In that genre.
Yeah,
right?
In that vein.
So they were wrestlers and they fell into hell, right? Through a hell portal that was underneath a wrestling
ring. Oh, there happened
ring.
To be a portal to hell
portal
under the ring.
Hell. And here's a quick clip of Booker T and Scott Steiner falling into hell. In fucking Charmed.
Alright, we have to save Piper.
How do we do that?
By kicking ass.
Ah!
fuck
fucking
was that?
Truly
Holy shit.
Truly horrific.
They were literally beating up women.
Yeah.
For 5 minutes.
A really long fucking...
extended... like, he punched her.
Yeah.
He punched her.
And so, a few things why it was fucking awful.
Oh, my God.
Shitty acting.
Well, shitty acting.
Yeah.
Given.
The people who wrote that were not wrestling fans. No. Because they did what the stereotypical thing, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to do... So yeah. It was just really, like...
And they treated wrestling as real.
Yes.
Like, let's have a real wrestling fight.
Yes. It's fucking awful acting. Terrible stunts.
Yeah.
So when she was like, she was virtually running around like a fucking hidden tiger, crouching yes. dragon, whatever. And it looked truly awful. You could tell, obviously, she was on wires.
So bad.
So bad. So bad. Like shitty acting.
You always know when they don't know wrestling because they treat it like they're having a real fight.
Yes.
With no tongue in cheek at all.
And if you're going to choose a wrestler to do some acting, you're not choosing Scott Steiner.
No.
Are you? Because Scott Steiner can only do shouty, angry
stuff. If you hear me.
Yeah. It's terrible Scott Steiner.
Oh, terrible.
And Booker T. Terrible, terrible, fucking awful.
This is awful.
Out of 10.
Oh, is there thing less than zero? Can we do a negative?
You can do a negative.
It's negative 10.
Negative 10.
That's as bad as it gets.
Well, you're saying that a bit early.
Did I set the bar too low?
No, if you want to revise your score,
maybe I'll keep it at one. I'll keep it in the 0 to 10
a
range.
One, because the
one.
There are a couple of fucking corkers coming up. All right,
I can't. I don't know how it's worse than that.
So a quick recap: 10 out of 10 Hulk Hogan, American Dad. 10 out of 10 Ric Flair, Cleveland Show. 1 out of 10 Booker T.
Oh, that was bad. They were beating up women for 5 minutes.
It was truly awful. And the thing was, so they were like, it was state as if it was a real fight.
Yes.
Not one drop of blood.
No.
Punched her square in her fucking
didn't do anything.
Boat race, and there was nothing.
Nothing.
Next one.
Would have shattered her face in real life.
Of course. Next one. We're going to go with... next one we're going to go with Billy Gunn, and he was in Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Really?
Do you remember that?
I don't. This had to be like in the height of the Attitude Era, right?
I imagine it would have been. So there you have it. Billy Gunn has to wrestle Sabrina the Teenage Witch as part of some ritual for the fucking... I don't know.
Why was that time in, I guess, TV or our culture, it was okay to wrestle, like, beat up, physically assault a woman?
It's the 90s, Eddie.
I guess it was the 90s.
It's the 90s. We're in different times now.
Yeah,
before Me Too.
But it's uncomfortable to watch.
It is. But the thing is, she's a massive wrestling fan, Melissa Joan Hart.
Right.
She's a huge, huge wrestling fan. So I'm sure, you know, this is probably season 14 or whatever, where she's starting to get more, you know, executive producing.
Yeah, she's like, I want to wrestle.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want to wrestle badass Billy Gunn.
Yeah, so we all have to indulge in her fucking, you know, stunt casting.
It's just such a... I mean, at least, I guess now, if they did it, there's so many, like, great female wrestlers, you could cast a female wrestler in that role, and then they could wrestle, and it feels more appropriate.
Man... trying to beat on a woman.
Yeah.
And
even a woman with superpowers or whatever, these people, like the in Charmed, they have these witch, it still feels bad.
And particularly because they're dressed up as wrestlers and they're in their normal clothes. So she's in a bridesmaid's outfit.
Yes.
And he's wearing his Mr. Ass little tight fucking...
It looks like a wrestler assaulting a woman.
It does. A wrestler attempting to rape a woman is what it feels like to watch. It's uncomfortable. And then you throw in the talking cat and it's like, what the fuck have I been smoking? Horrible. So, out of 10, Edwin, was it as bad...
It didn't feel as bad as Charmed.
No.
So I'm going to give it like a 3.
A 3, okay.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Because at least, again, it's not trying to be serious. It's kind of, you know, comedic.
But they still take the wrestling thing as real. Like, we're having a real wrestling match.
Right. It's just not... it's not right. Okay, so the next one.
Yeah.
Our next one is from TV show. I mean, I know it's a big favorite of yours. You have them all on video.
I do. I have the whole DVD collection.
On Beta.
Betamax collection.
It's Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh.
Did you watch that show?
I watched the... did you ever see the movie Texas Ranger?
Nope.
There was a movie called Texas Ranger, probably like the early mid-80s.
With Chuck Norris.
With Chuck Norris. And I think that's what the series is about. I never watched the series, but I watched the movie.
And was the movie any good?
So as a child,
movie,
as a child, it was good, but it's like probably going back and watching Rambo First Blood Part 2, and you're like, well, this doesn't age well.
Yes. Okay, so this one is Walker, Texas Ranger. Now, a bunch of people were in Walker, Texas Ranger. So Sting was in an episode. So
Rangus.
Hogan. And this one is Macho Man Randy Savage. And again, it's one of those examples where they're using wrestlers in a scene to try and make it out to be like real life. Let's have a look.
Strip to the waist, grease up. Time to find out what you're made of.
What's this for?
It's for the camera. I'm gonna make you a star.
Who'd he draw?
Wide Load London.
Camera one, pull in there.
Wow. So what?
He kicked his ass.
What did you notice about that clip? Right, so the first thing is, it starts off, they're in a cage.
They're in a cage fighting. But they're not wrestling. It's like kickboxing.
They're in a prison.
Yes.
And there's monitors there. What is the basis of that episode from watching that? What would you suggest?
Here's what I read from this.
What?
Walker,
Texas Ranger has gone undercover to a prison that's having real fights. And they're making money off it.
Right.
So he goes in to infiltrate and uncover all
And he's got
to
fight somebody.
Presumably, that's the story.
Wow.
That's not a stretch to think that, is it?
No, that's probably what it is.
Exactly, probably. So, Macho Man Randy Savage, what else struck you from that clip?
This always shocks me whenever I see, because I never thought Randy Savage was like a big guy. He seemed like one of the smaller wrestlers.
Yes, he
was.
But
standing next to Walker, Texas Ranger, he's enormous.
Yeah, compared to him, muscularly
huge.
Yeah, and this was actually around the time that he was doing like Spider-Man and stuff like that, and he was massive in Spider-Man.
He was
wasn't
huge,
he?
Yes,
because he was kind of. I don't think he was. He still full time wrestling.
I don't think he was full time.
So he was banging on the roids, right? So
he had to be on the HGH or whatever. Eventually, exploded his heart.
Yeah, so he was. They're fighting. The thing that struck me is the sound effects of the punches. Like, that is turned up to a fucking 20s. I'm sure they went into the ADR later on. So they went into finishing it, and I'm sure he went, no, needs to sound less realistic as possible.
I need to sound like every blow is killing him.
Exactly. So out of 10. So, and again, they're not actually wrestling.
No, that's like cage fighting.
Yeah.
That seemed like cage fighting. So that was a little bit, I would give that maybe. Well, it was on Walker, Texas Ranger, so you're losing massive points there. I would give it like a 4.
And he didn't have a lot to do, old Randy, there, did he?
No.
Other than just the fight scene.
Just the fight scene.
So I would have liked to have seen if there's... I imagine there would have been... they'd have done a little bit of a wrestling promo beforehand.
There had to be something.
Yeah. He would have been all, I'm going to get you. I'm going to tell you in half.
Walker. Texas Ranger.
Ooh. Dig it. So out of 10.
I'll give it a 4.
Yeah.
Right?
I reckon a good 4.
Because at least they weren't doing a fake wrestling. They weren't doing a wrestling match that seemed real. There wasn't like a sleeper hold that was real or like an arm bar.
It was more MMA.
It was an MMA, like, this is a cage fight. These are guys fighting. This isn't like, hey, this is wrestling's real sort of fight.
But why get Randy Savage in to do that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Because he's not wrestling and he's not a wrestler.
And that was the USA Network, unless he was still employed by WWE at the time and there was just some sort of cross-promotion thing. But I don't think he was with WWE at the time.
He looks very much, again, in the 90s, very much in that
sort
of...
Yeah, he was kind of... That was like almost like early 2000s, maybe.
So a 4 out of 10.
I guess a 4 out of 10. Just because they went with the MMA route and not the... Because the wrestler is going to put you in a real arm bar.
Yeah, or suplex you.
Or suplex you.
The next one is when I was researching and prepping for this, which literally took me all of 10 minutes.
I
searched list of wrestlers in TV shows, and I got tons of them. The Undertaker, which was a massive surprise to me, because he doesn't do it. That's not his nature, is he?
No, he was like one of the few guys that kept the kayfabe going, even outside of the ring. Like, he never broke character.
No, and that mystery about him and all that kind of stuff. So he was in a show, which I never saw, Poltergeist.
No, I knew about the show, I never watched it.
And what was the show about?
Well, I don't know if it was anything like the movie. Maybe it was just about poltergeist activity, ghost activity.
So it's called Poltergeist: The Legacy was the TV show, and The Undertaker was in it. And here's a quick clip.
Somewhere along the line, somebody screwed up, and I wasn't supposed to be placed there. So you gotta understand, I had to escape.
Escape?
Yeah, escape.
Escape must be punished.
No, we're talking about self-defense, not murder. That's where everything gets mixed up. That was wrongly judged.
Judgment's not my job. Just retrieval.
Just listen to me, please. Can I make a deal?
What kind of deal?
Anything.
Your brother.
Nick? Why Nick?
His soul is worth more than yours. You let me have him, and I'll let you go.
So, The Undertaker and Poltergeist, what'd you make of that, Ed?
Yeah, there seems to be a running theme through wrestlers in TV shows. There's a lot of violence towards women.
So you're suggesting maybe the wrestling business was slightly misogynistic in the 1990s, yeah.
I mean, they take every opportunity to put their hand on a woman.
Yes.
And I think the only thing that stops Savage and Walker is because they were in a cage.
And most
in a male prison.
And let's be fair, most wrestling fans don't get the chance to put their hands on women at all.
Yes.
In any circumstance.
Right.
But what that's teaching them, as soon as you get one, fucking throttle her.
Yeah.
Clothesline her.
It's okay.
Give her a snapmare.
Your heroes are doing it.
Yeah, exactly. What a fucking
so
lesson.
Weird.
And that's why this country's in the state it's in. Because a generation, okay, right. A generation of fucking children watched The
it's
Undertaker
true.
And Sting and all the people they loved on TV fucking beaten on a bitch.
Oh.
Maybe I shouldn't have said beaten on a bitch.
Beaten on a bitch? Might have been overboard.
Well,
you're doing it in character.
I'm saying that.
You're doing it on your soapbox.
In their words is what they would have said, beaten on a bitch.
But it's true.
Mm.
Like every time the only time it didn't happen is they were literally in a male prison in a cage and there was no women around.
Otherwise they would have
been fighting the woman.
So, but then what I liked about that, it was Undertaker pretty much being the Undertaker.
Yes.
He wasn't trying to act.
Yes.
He was turning his character up to a 10. So he played a character that came from hell to get the souls of people who'd made a deal with the devil who hadn't paid him back.
Yes.
So that's, I mean, kind
of. That's kind of the Undertaker.
What it is, yeah. Did you like the makeup?
It was interesting.
So they could have just left him as, because he looks enormous and freaky.
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't know why they did the little thing on the side of his face. It's like
he looked like fucking Seven of Nine, didn't he?
He did look like a little Star Trek-y. Yeah,
but I think it was a good performance, and he was pretty much, I think, in his
he's pretty much
Undertaker
the Undertaker
costume.
And I wonder if he did that because like he was notoriously famous for never breaking character. And
yes.
I wonder if he's like he only took acting jobs where he didn't have to break character.
Yeah, apart from what was that one?
Oh, Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando. Yeah, yeah.
But that was before he was really established as the Undertaker.
He wasn't even on WWF TV at that point, I don't think. I think he was like in developmental or something.
Yeah.
So
it was early on.
Undertaker in Poltergeist: The Legacy, out of 10.
Again, laying hand on a woman. I think Poltergeist Legacy, so it works because it is sci-fi.
Yeah.
He does look like he's from hell. I think he fits the character. And if you just take away choke slamming the woman against the wall, I think you have like a 6 or 7 there because everything seems to fit.
Yes. Good casting. He wasn't trying to be a wrestler.
There was no fake wrestle moments. And when the moves he did do were actual, just like, it was like a choke. And it was things you would do in an actual fight.
Yes.
He didn't pick someone up and body slam them.
Yep.
So I would give it like a 6.
I think so.
Could be higher if it wasn't against a woman.
Yeah, if he wasn't beaten on a bitch.
If he wasn't beaten on a bitch. I would have given it higher, but I'm thinking 6.
All right, so he's coming out, other than the animated ones, which we obviously both love, it's coming out pretty, they're pretty shitty, these appearances.
Very shitty. Extremely shitty. Okay. And you can tell they're just solely for crossover promotion, most of them.
So, you haven't seen shitty until you've seen The Love Boat, The Next Generation, or whatever the fuck.
The New Wave.
Yeah, I think it's called. I think that's what it was called. Kevin Nash, who I think is
big sexy.
Yeah, I think he's a
Diesel.
Very funny.
He's got a lot of personality.
The stuff he did in TNA where he was playing Dr. Nash and all of that that he did with he was Kurt Angle's therapist and everything. It was hilarious.
Yes.
He's a very funny guy. Bill Goldberg, not so much.
No.
Very serious.
He's got one note.
He has got one note. And he does it brilliantly.
He does his one note well, but that's the only note he's got.
He was great in The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
Not so good in where he's tried to develop a bit of character. He was in that terrible Santa one. Did you ever see that one where he played Santa, like a bad Santa type of thing, where he was actually the devil, was he, or something?
Was he?
That came back, but he was dressed as Santa.
That seems right.
Yeah, it was not good. So some of the movies he's been in, obviously it's the whole...
As long as he plays Goldberg, he's fine.
Yes.
Just don't do anything else.
Well, here it is. Let's just listen to it. It's The Love Boat, The Next Wave with Goldberg and Nash.
Listen, you meathead. I wasn't trying to put a move on your girl. And why were you hugging her, huh? Because we made up. Happy? Now I'm happy. That's it. I want you right here, right now. You want me? You got me.
Is anyone sitting there?
No.
Come on. Excuse me, sir. You've caused just about enough problems.
Feeling, man?
Doc says he nearly crushed my trachea, but thank God I think I can finally take this thing off.
Wow. We found a new low.
Yeah, maybe.
What did you like about that?
I thought it started well when they were having the argument. They kept switching the mic back and forth. I'm like, okay, they're self-aware of this is what they do in wrestling when they don't have a microphone. They're passing them. So I thought that was kind of a fun joke. And then it turned into like a real wrestling match. And then they were trying to do it slapsticky in the middle, like when Goldberg's trying to put him in a figure four, and he's like, Nash asks if anyone's sitting here, and someone says no, and then he takes the chair, bashes him over the head. Just real
fucking awful, I would say.
Real bad,
shitty real writing. Bad. Terrible writing.
Awful writing.
Hey, look, you meathead. It's like, as if you asked Colton 4 years ago to write... to write a wrestling
What do you think
promo.
About wrestling? Write it.
Yeah. You meathead.
I just thought when they were handing the mic back, I'm like, okay, they're being a little
self-aware,
a little nod to the audience, they're wrestlers, because they could have this argument without the microphone.
Yes.
And then it just devolved from that moment.
And then a lady comes in at the end of the scene, after they've been fighting for 3 minutes to split them up.
Yeah.
Not at the beginning of this fight, before they've trashed half the fucking Love Boat. At the end, after they've been put through tables, they've ended up in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
I mean, the swimming pool must have been the last straw. All those shards of fucking glass and chairs everywhere. No, that's fine.
No.
The cleaning crew can
Don't fight in the pool, though.
Get in the fucking pool with your shoes on. Don't piss in the pool or else you're out.
If you get blood in the pool, they're going to have to drain the pool and we can't play in the pool.
Yeah, so no blading. No blading, no color.
No crimson mask in the pool.
Nash would have got color in that. It would have been all over.
Been over. Steuben would have been pissed.
Yes. Was he in the
I don't know.
One? Maybe he would have been. Who was the black guy? Isaac. And who was the doctor in that? The sort of weird, kind of creepy, very rapey, that doctor.
Oh, he did some Me Too shit.
He was supposed to be like a Lothario, wasn't he?
He did some Me Too shit on that boat. There's always, no way he didn't do
the
Me
doctor
Too shit
is always slightly pervy in movies and stuff, especially on boats.
Yeah.
There was a whole slew of...
Well, there's no rules out there.
No.
International waters.
And easy to dump a body.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
If you know a doctor who works on a cruise line... Fucking stay away from them.
Fucking very creepy.
Very creepy.
Very pervy.
If you were a doctor, would you want to practice on a cruise line?
Well, it depends on what my intentions were as that doctor.
Exactly. You've got to question anyone who wants to.
If I want to serve the people and help people get better, I'm not going to be on a cruise line.
No.
No. If I want to do things that people don't want to find out about,
no,
then I'm going to go on a cruise
line. You're curing fuck all on a cruise line,
aren't
you?
You're hurting some upset stomachs. You're giving a little bit of nausea pills.
What you're only curing your own desperation to rape people.
Yeah, while they're unconscious from the drugs you've given them.
Moving on.
That went somewhere dark.
Right. Tangentially fucking weird.
So boat doctors.
Boat doctors.
A zero.
Stay away.
Zero.
Yeah. Minus fucking 100. Boat doctors. Fucking dirty bastards. Going back to the Love Boat, though. So what do you? What out of 10?
Oh, that was bad. That's down there with Charmed.
Yeah, shitty acting.
Shitty acting. Terrible writing.
Yeah.
There was no
bad execution.
Bad execution. Real wrestling moves.
Yes.
Like supposed to be in a real fight. Like if
he did a knee drop onto
his head.
Goldberg onto his head.
On his head. And that was like that opened the fight.
Yes.
That wasn't an ender. That was like the opening shot. Yeah. And then he drove him through a table.
Bad, bad, bad.
And then he just assaulted some bystander and ran him through the bar.
Exactly. He's doing a fucking stretch for that.
Yeah. You're definitely getting arrested and kicked off the boat.
Yeah. You're even probably having to pull into the nearest port so that you could be arrested. I mean, that's like you fucked everybody's holiday
up. You fucked the whole fucking trip.
Yeah. If the rest of the crowd would have piled in and beat the fucking shit out of them and then dumped their bodies over the side, job done.
Huh. And they just go on. They're like, yeah, they disappeared. We don't know what happened to them.
All right, out of 10, Ed.
Oh, that might be a 1. That's down there. With
1 out of 10.
Yeah, that might be a 1. That was bad.
It was truly bad.
Had they just had a regular fight, they could have gotten a couple points. But they did a wrestling match.
And
that throws me out.
That's for me is the gold. It's like the number one thing. If you first of all, you're starting a wrestling match, it's automatically
I'm out,
right? Completely out.
Yeah,
but yeah,
you're absurd.
Because if you want to watch that, you watch wrestling.
Yeah,
you don't watch it on fucking Sabrina.
It works in American Dad because it's a cartoon.
Yes,
it doesn't work in real life.
And it's self-referencing, self-aware, self-referential.
This is completely unself-aware.
Yeah. Hey everybody, we're going to hit the pause button right there, but we will be back with the second half of our look at wrestlers in TV. Bye-bye.